call for those that are older in the Lord, mature, have the faith, anointing them with oil. Well, Pastor, we're missing a step. That's why we're not getting it. The oil was probably the same thing I'm talking about. Probably for baby Christians who needed some kind of point of contact to say, okay, I can release my faith with this. But the simple matter still remains. Whether you're here or there or 1,000 miles away, I can release the law of the Spirit without oil or without hand contact. How do you think He's going to come in masses where there's thousands and thousands out there and heal them? We'll not be able to put our hands on them or anoint them with oil. But James gave that instruction and that was good. But it was really more for the babies so they'd have a point of contact where they'd say, okay, now I believe I'm going to receive at this point of contact. But hallelujah, you can do that. And you can lay hands, but you can also send the word 1,000 miles away. And if you believe when you pray, you'll have whatsoever you believe. Hallelujah. So there's an advancement on it. You can see it. Jesus could work in all ways. That's where we're headed. That's the advanced state. Hallelujah. Right now, I need you to... At times, just like all of us, you can lay your hands on me and I'll lay my hands on you. The best place, though, to get it is just to get it as you're going. And I'm in that state with you. I want you to pray and lift me up. But I'm talking about you can get it for yourself all the time. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? Well, I'm sick as a dog, but it's 2 days till church time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just thought I'd let you know, if you wonder, if your mind goes bonkers on you and every once in a while and says, why don't we do certain things like, you know, we don't put the oil on everybody. That's why we're... That'll help you out, knowing those kinds of things. Otherwise, he'd have had to send a bottle of oil with a centurion servant. Something. Hallelujah. Well, we're missing it in... Pastor, why don't we ever have water baptisms? I've been meaning to ask you about that. Hey, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. If we had the convenience of it, it'd be nice. But really all it is, it's an outward witness of an inward work. And it's just a testimony to the community. When they badgered Paul... Paul just finally told him, look, I can't even remember who I baptized. In fact, if you want to know the end of it, he said it like this. He didn't send me to baptize people. He sent me to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. And boy, that ought to tell somebody who believes you have to be immersed in water to be totally born again. That ought to speak volumes to them right there. If Paul himself says, hey, I didn't, you know, get somebody else to baptize them. If you want them baptized, I can't even remember. Don't make an issue out of it because he didn't send me. That's not the issue. Now, you'd have some good Baptists that just fight you tooth and toenail, but I don't know how they get around that one. Hallelujah. So, until we sprinkle you or dip you in Lake Trafford, you're okay. And if it doesn't happen before the trumpet sounds, you're okay. But any clamoring spirits, though, we go out there and we baptize them. Among the alligators. Sister Barbara's got some big ones behind her house. The lions used to eat the Christians. Now we have alligators. Why don't you stand and give somebody a great big hug? Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, how we worship You. Nothing is as wonderful as loving You, worshiping You, praising You. You've given us this road to walk in, to believe for revival and to also believe in all of our family. And so we continually call them born again in Jesus' name. The good ones, the bad ones, the nice ones, the mean ones. You know, the mean ones are the ones we got to call in with a good effort. You know, he strikes the... You're the intercessor. So if you don't pray for them, probably nobody else will. Because they're not their family, and it's not that everybody in the church is uncaring, but it's just out of sight, out of mind. And that's just the way things happen. But God's relegated that to you to pray for them. So guess who you're going to have the most problems with? Because he wants the enemy to cut you off as an intercessor. Or if you do pray, your prayers are tainted to some degree by the last offense that you fought with them. So it's just going to serve, you know, well, Pastor, I don't have any problems with anybody except my family. That's usually... But this is a holiday season. This is a time where, you know, not only does the world, but the church, a lot of times has a hard time with this because it has such a, in a real sense of the word, a homing device on it, in the sense that you want, you know, when he first showed up and announced the nativity and said to the shepherds, a single angel began to announce it, and before it was over with, there was a multitude of heavenly hosts. They were praising God. They were worshiping. I don't know if they were singing, but they were, the Bible says they were praising God. And I bet they were singing, hallelujah, 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 and he shall. There was a back, there was a rain for it. I just know how it happened. Yeah. And all these angels, but they did say peace on earth, goodwill towards men. So Christmas in itself has a wholesomeness about it. And it has something, you know, how they gravitated to see him. And so it's not just tradition, it's part of the anointing of this time where we're supposed to gravitate to one another. But you know what? The mixed emotions are this, is because it's such a wholesome time, and it's a feeling like you want everything to be right. And if everything's not right, like if you grew up under a real, real load of things not being right, the world doesn't know how to reconcile it, and Christians usually will fall into a slight level. If they had a real rough time, they'll fall in, many of them will fall into a twinge of depression during this time of year. Because they go at it from the emotional realm, because there is an emotion that makes you want to gravitate, and God placed that in it in this time of year. But when you go into it trying to be your own healer, you can get into some real problems. Well, I wish I'd have said that, or I wish I hadn't have done that, or Mama's on the other side and I can't call her home, and I remember those bad times with Daddy, or I wish this would have happened, or that would have happened. You can go through the whole checklist and reminisce and wish things would have been better. You won't get healed. You won't have a very Merry Christmas. I can tell you how to go on and be whole. I mean just whole, where there's no prickly pears on the inside of you. He was the center of the first Christmas. And if you'll make Him the center of every single one, and if you'll worship Him, He'll heal all the parts where you don't even feel like it's necessary to go back and say, well, I missed, Daddy was drunk that Christmas, or he wasn't in the home this one, and I got bad memories of Christmas, Pastor, because I know you might, but listen, Boy, don't we have the best that life has to offer when we've got now a spirit that's on the inside of us that can go and put a healing patch over that and get it all healed. Get it all healed. Hallelujah. You had to light your own candle and sit there and drink a glass of milk by yourself on Christmas. I can tell you, if you know Him enough, that's more than enough. You're never, ever handicapped. That's what you need to know. With this new nature, you're never handicapped. Glory be to God. I like that. Hallelujah. Because most people feel like, well, Daddy hadn't got drunk that Christmas. Mama's on the other side, and I had that cussing match with her, and I can't bring her back. And listen, those things are done. They're gone. They're under the blood. Hallelujah. Thank God we can be intercessors. Let me just read a couple verses to you, a few verses. 1 John, I like 1 John. Chapter 5. Father, we just worship You. Thank You for our grace that we feel and know. 1 John 5 says, and well, I'll just go ahead and just start reading verse 1 because it's too good of 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. And we're not going to stop and try to break all this down for you. We often ask you to read 1 John because it's such a powerful 5-chapter book. 2 says, but this we know that we love, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and do something else, keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Hallelujah. You know, when you're working with God, it's not supposed to be painful to obey the Word. For whatsoever is born of God, that's you, that's me, glory to God, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? That's me, that's me, that's me. I got a new nature. A new nature. Hallelujah. You'll have to correct that one, Kathy. Verse 6. This is he. Now it's going to, he's going to identify why we know that this is the one to follow, this man Jesus. This is he who came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Boy, he lets you know why you're saved. And why you can follow Him. We're going to get over here into what you're called to do and what some of you stood up here tonight as intercessors. But again, verse 6, he says, this is he who came by water. That water is the birth, his natural birth. This Messiah, this God-man had to be born. And he had to be born a man. He couldn't come here and be God. He had to be God-man. What a tremendous mystery. It was God actually in the flesh. We won't venture too far into it tonight. But you're talking about microscopic, cellular miracle where it says God, the Word, became flesh. Logos became flesh. Now this is a brain teaser, but it nevertheless is the true deity wrapped itself cell to cell, chromosome to chromosome, intertwined itself with flesh. With the flesh and blood. He was not only deity, like as in deity having the Word God inside of Him, but it's actually He became flesh. Another teaching. Some of you are saying, I got a little bit of it. But this is the thing that you've got to know. If God had not been born of a woman, He wasn't qualified to be a Savior, because He had to also become a man. So the first thing John says is, I can tell you why we know it's Him. Because He was born of water. Glory be to God. And then He was also born of blood. What does that mean? The water and the blood was mixed? No. He was saying He came of the bloodline, of the lineage by which He was supposed to. He really was the Son of David. You can trace His lineage down, boom, 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 generation after generation. He not only was born of a virgin, but buddy, He hit the mark. He hit the bullseye. He was born of the right woman at the right time. His lineage, the bloodline by which He followed, was perfect. Hallelujah. But then He goes on to say here, and it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is true. What's the Spirit doing? The Spirit is bearing witness. Well, who's He bearing witness with? He's bearing witness with your spirit. That this man that is who He says He is who He says He is, and that when you say, Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins, that Spirit comes in there and bears witness that you are a Son of God. Now, I like this because this is really, really strong. He says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, and He lists the deity here. Well, what are they bearing record of? That indeed this thing surely did take place. That this thing, they all stand up and bear record. Who? The Father, that's Jehovah. The Word, that's the Logos. And the Holy Ghost, He's just who He is, the Holy Ghost. These all three are one, and they all stand up and say, absolutely. Not only we're bearing record of ourselves, but we bear record. Jesus said, if I bear record of myself alone, my record's not true, but there's another one that bears record of me. And He said, these three in heaven are bearing record that surely as I'm writing this stuff down, it happened just like this. But listen, and there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and King James got it right, the little Spirit, because it's testifying here of Jesus. These three bear witness that Jesus is who He says He was, and that we are truly born again. Well, we already talked about what the water and the Word was. The first one He mentions here is the Spirit, and this all pertained to Him. The water pertained to Him. He was born by natural means. He wasn't just God that appeared on earth one day. He had to come through human being. He had to be deity robed in flesh. He had to make the bloodline. But John says over in Big John, he says, in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. That life that was in Him, that He was born with, was the born again, as we call it now, nature, or the born again spirit, meaning He had a spirit of life. He did not come out of a dead gene pool. That's why Buddha can't save a person. That's why Hare Krishna can't save a person. They're all born. No man can ever save another man, because they're born out of the same dead spirit gene pool. Somebody had to come outside of that gene pool. And this is the miracle. This is the miracle. He said that life came from the Father. What He's saying is that born again nature came from Him. The moment that the Holy Spirit impregnated that microscopic cell that began to produce cell to cell, that That life from the Father was right there to make sure that that human spirit, and this is what He's saying, these are the three things. Not only the water, the blood, but John is saying this. We know He is who He says that He was, and I can testify because He had a spirit that walked sinless for 33 and a half years. He had the new nature that you and I now have because we become sons and daughters of God. So He says He had the new nature. He had the spirit of life on the inside of Him. He wasn't a man out of a dead gene pool. He had a spirit of life, and that bears witness because nobody ever saw Him sin. Nobody ever saw Him get sideways. He had the life of the Spirit. He had the new nature. And everybody that follows Him gets that new nature, which we call now the Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah. And we're glad. But listen, He says, if we receive the witness of men, isn't this amazing? The witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God has what? The witness in himself. Glory be to God. He that believeth not that Jesus or that God hath made him a liar. But this is what is so amazing to me. He says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Can you imagine this? That He's trying to convince these to say, you're born again. And this is why you're born again. And I can tell you, here's the witness I know. And let me give you all the facts of man. We saw Him as a born again believer. As a born again, He didn't sin. I can tell you He had the nature of Christ in Him. Oh, and we've traced His bloodline. And His bloodline hits the mark. And we know of a fact that He was born. He was flesh and blood. But if we receive, now if you're going to receive my witness, if you receive all the testimony of all His miracles and the witness of men, let me tell you, what is even God esteems as a greater witness that you are born again and on the right path. He says He's placed His Spirit within you, and that Spirit that is in you will bear witness. And God actually takes that as the highest proof that He can offer to you that Jesus is who He says He is. Hallelujah. God says, that's the highest. I can give you the witness of man. I can give you all the lineage on him and everything. But I can tell you what heaven holds as the greatest witness is what you hold on the inside of you and says, I know who I am. I'm a son or daughter of God. How do you know that you are? Well, I can give you proof by the Word of God. Well, then, what's the highest proof? The highest proof is what you can't even understand, but it's bearing witness on the inside of me, and God said it's the greatest proof I need. The Spirit bears witness with me. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That's good stuff. And He says, this is the record that God has given us to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son, and he that hath the Son hath life. It's talking about this Zoe, this God kind of life. It's not talking about a better life, more riches, more cars, houses. It's talking about the life that comes in to your spirit through the new nature. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Well, this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. Boy, now if there's any petition that He'll answer, because what's dead, right dead in His will, is this next thing that He instructs us on. We can have confidence that He'll hear this one. Absolutely. When we begin to stand as intercessors, He says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, well, he'll ask who? God. And He shall give him life. The life of God will come to them. The same, what kind of life? The same kind that got you born again. for them that sin not unto death. And he says this, he says, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that you'll pray for that. What does that mean, Pastor? A little confusing. No, he's simply saying there, without going into the whole thing, there was a sin unto death, an absolute sin unto death. He's not talking about kick the bucket death. He's talking about an absolute death to any kind of new nature living on the inside of you past that point. And what that was the absolute apostatizing of those who knew, because at that time there was a tremendous onslaught to get people to renounce their faith. And he said, if in essence, without going into this and giving a historical background, if they stood there and were born again and did renounce their faith with the accountability, knowing, and they were mature enough to know what they were doing, he said there was a sin unto death. And it's pretty scary to know that he asked the intercessor, he told the intercessor, you don't even have to pray for him. I always want to be able to be prayed for. But that was an extreme circumstance where they stood up and renounced their faith and sinned unto death. But he said everything outside of that, well, here's a place where we can stand with confidence and begin to pray not only for our brothers, but you know this, just by the way of example, that Jesus said this. He said, well, here in this, John said, if you see your brother sinning a sin, it's taking them out, it's destroying them. He said, you could pray. You could pray for them. And the life of God, the same life that you were standing in, would come if you were an intercessor and begin to visit them, to turn them. Or let's say this, in the outside of that, to get them born again. But you see them sinning a sin where they're destroying their life. You could stand in the gap for them if you wanted to and you say, God, forgive them. Forgive them because they know not what they do. And he'd begin to visit them. You say, well, can you get forgiveness for somebody? You can't get personal forgiveness for them. You can't get personal forgiveness for them. But in the sense of the word, like he prayed, now how many of you believe that Jesus knows how to pray? What did he say? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, the forgiveness that he was talking about wasn't that if God answered his prayer, if God answered that prayer on the cross, forgive them, they know not what they do. He wasn't asking the Father to personally, that is in their sin, as in a sinner, forgive them. But what he was as an intercessor, he was saying, don't let this sin stand between you coming and visiting them and getting them born again. Would had those died, they were crucifying him, and all those, even after his prayer, they'd have gone to hell. They'd have gone to hell. That wasn't the forgiveness that he was asking for. He was asking for the same kind of forgiveness that you and I, as an intercessor, can pray like Stephen when he said, God, don't lay this sin to their charge, because unless somebody prays, they're going to keep going the way they're going. Now, you can't get forgiveness for them. They die in that. They die either as a Christian without a reward, or they keep going and they die as a sinner and go to hell. But you can ask Him to forgive their ignorance so that God will come. And He'll come and He'll visit them time and time again. And He'll say, okay, otherwise I'm at a place where nobody's calling on me for you. But Jesus prayed, God, forgive them. They know not what they do. And did He visit them? Oh, within just a month, he came, and the very ones that crucified him, he came and he got them. Peter stood up and preached, and they all got saved, and they all got born again. They got filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says that even many of the Sanhedrin, many of the Pharisees, they got born again. So as a result of that prayer, as a result of Stephen's prayer, don't lay this sin to their charge. You're supposed to be praying, God, forgive them in this. That won't get them entrance into heaven. That won't get them cleansed of what they're doing. What it does, the forgiveness it gets, is for God to say, okay, I'll keep pursuing them in this. I'll keep going after them in this. I'll go after them if you want me to. I want my family born again. I want them born again. Hallelujah. So I know how to stand in as an intercessor. Say, well, they're deceived. Well, yeah, they're deceived. But that doesn't mean... See, here's how God measures deception. Deception's based on a level of how much light is readily available. You say, well, my family member, they're deceived. Yeah, they're deceived. Satan's deceived, but he's highly accountable. See, Satan believes his own lies, but that don't get him off the hook. Just because, see, somebody said, well, if they're deceived, does that mean they don't know what they're doing? And then they're thinking, well, if they don't know what they're doing, are they... No. If you're self-deceived, that means if light has come to you and you step past that light, then you begin to get accountable and more light's given to you and you say no, you get more accountable, you get more... Yeah, you're out there deceived and you don't know what you're doing, but you're high. That doesn't take away the fact that you're highly accountable because you press past the light. Satan pressed past the light until his accountability ran its full course. He became full-blown accountable and there's no recovery for him now. Well, is he demented and confused? Oh, yeah. Does he know what he's doing? Yes. But does he know what he's doing as in the light of the way God sees it? No, because now, but is he accountable? Totally accountable. See, when you are out there and you're a sinner, you die without Christ, you go to hell. But as far as the light goes, you're not very accountable. That's why somebody will get their toe inside of Christianity, get born again, and they'll just hang around that. They'll just hang around it. Nobody visits them. They don't get filled with the Spirit, and they're not real accountable. Well, they'll live a loose kind of life, half their life, and then every once in a while they'll call out to God. If they were born again most of the time, they'll get in, just living a loose life like that. But when light comes, like we experience, just like I said about your kids can get born again at 2 and 3 years old because there's so much light, so much word in this place, so much revelation knowledge. You don't go to a church like this a month that you don't get accountable and more accountable and more accountable. I've told everybody, the ones that have stayed with me, I said, look, they've made it. A lot of you have made it. But we put almost a warning label on things. If you don't want to become accountable, don't keep coming. Because you get real accountable. But when they get accountable, they get stepping past the light. Do they get deceived? Oh, yes. But they're highly accountable. But what are you saying that for? You can still stand as an intercessor and ask life for them because you don't want anybody to go to hell. Hallelujah. So I've got loved ones out there that need to come in, and I've got loved ones that have come in and they're out there and they've been out there long enough. If I had to preach their funeral, don't ask me to preach them into heaven, because they've been out there too long. But you know what? Is it a time frame? Not necessarily a time frame. It's sinning against the witness and sinning against it and sinning against it. Until. And usually, here's the danger. Here's where you and I as intercessors, if anybody's ever darkened these doors, if they've come in and sat here and heard the truth, it's like pouring gas on a fire. They become real accountable real fast. That's why it's real important for us to pray for the old ones that have went out, because they're highly accountable. But guess what? If they haven't sinned the sin unto death, and that's to publicly renounce Him, you can still stand and say, God, forgive them, because they still haven't run the full gamut. They still don't know what they're doing. They're trying to go to hell, but I'm going to stand here as an intercessor and call them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Which means until they draw their last breath, they'll all be able to get born again. Hallelujah. I thought they were born again. They were born again. But you can get born again. It's hard to lose it, but if you fight hard enough, you can make it there. I like to stay in the safe zone. Hallelujah. So you and I, we get a privilege. We get a privilege to stand in the gap and say, Father, Stephen said, don't lay this sin to the charge. Does that get them totally forgiven? No, it gets them God's access to go and go after them. You can cry out, God, forgive that person. What kind of forgiveness? The kind that an intercessor prays and says, okay, God, go after some more. Go after them again. Go after them again. Hallelujah. I think He wants us to do that right now. Why don't you just stand with me? Hallelujah, Jesus. Prestele bakiatene. Nen sekereche kristiti. Jesus. You got somebody that's really on your heart. Why don't you come and stand and let's just pray over you before we go out of here tonight. And so if you're standing for somebody, a son, a daughter, a mother, father, husband, wife, brother, sister. We have these kinds of services every once in a while. He'll visit us like this and say, I need your authority. You know, the less accountable they are, the truly, they don't know what they're doing. Jesus, stand in the gap. You got somebody that you're believing God for. They don't have to be here. They can be someplace else, another state, country. Hallelujah, Jesus. Mendokeresete. Family members, Lord, of all kinds. Jesus. So you're standing up here because you have the life of God in you. Well, what kind of life do you think visits them? It's that same kind of life that's in you. And this is what He asked. He said that if you would ask Him, He'd visit them with that kind of life that open up their eyes and they'd see. He'll track them down like a bloodhound. In Jesus' name. We worship You, Jesus. Remember, the greatest offenses are with those that need You the most. So pray this prayer with me, Father. I ask You, in Jesus' name, I ask You to send forth Your life. Get a hold of their lives. Father, forgive them. In this sense of the word, go after them. Lord, forgive them for their ignorance. They're blind that they cannot see. I ask You to open their eyes. Forgive their sins. Wash them in the blood. I call my loved ones, my friends, my family, born again in the name of Jesus. No matter how mean they are, how sweet they are, Jesus, they need You. Reveal yourself to them. Let your life and your love come through me now. I call my dad saved. My mother saved. My brother, sister, my wife, my husband, my cousins, all of my family, aunts and uncles. Jesus, go after him, I pray. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, let that life, the life of God touch their lives. In Jesus' name, just come on us, Lord, for that purpose in the name of Jesus. Lord, I stand with every single one of these men and women, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let the life of Christ, Lord, let the life of Christ in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, that life, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, that life, Father, we call them all born again by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. We call them all born again. And Father God, that they will not be lost in this world. But Father, in Jesus' name, we call that son, Lord God, we call them all in the name of Jesus. They will, Lord Jesus. They will respond to the life of God. The life that is in the new nature. Hallelujah. We have this witness, Father. We glorify you. We glorify you. We call all our family born again in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God, what a Christmas gift to believe that they will be born again. You'll set them free. You've already predestinated them to the image of Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Prense che resete di estata. Sorre bella poco. Mende che resete di estata. Mende che rinchele siete. Hallelujah. Would you say this with me? I say that a mockery is born again. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the dead are raised, demoniacs are set free, and millions are born again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.